Shabbat Shalom. Hey, the double portion of Parsha is Matot and Maaseh, from Numbers 30 and 1 to 36, 13. Starts out talking about vows. Vows, more than just a promise, a vow. I mean, it was really serious. They weren't meant to be taken lightly. If a man made a vow to the Lord, or swore oath to bind himself to some agreement, it had to be kept. If a woman made a vow, it was subject to her father's approval if she was unmarried, living in his home, or subject to her husband's approval. So, husband's approval back then. So, Samuel comes in the house and finds out Heatherly made a vow and says, "You said what?" And I said, "Oh, no, it ain't going to happen." But if Sam didn't say anything, then the vow stood. A widow or divorced woman who made a vow was bound to keep it. So vows were not meant to be taken lightly. One of the most familiar vows probably is a Nazarite vow that Samson took. And look what happened when Samson's vow was broken. So, you know, we're not to break vows. We're not to take them lightly. In fact, Matthew 5:34 says, "Don't take an oath at all." James 5:12 says basically the same things. So don't just randomly make a vow. Vows, you know, very, very serious. So then it goes on to where God told Moses to take vengeance on the Midianites. He was to take 1,000 from each tribe, armed for war with Phinehas, or Pinchas, the son of Eleazar the priest, with holy articles and the signal trumpets in his hand. They killed all the males, including Balaam, the son of Beor. Remember Balaam and the donkey talking to him? He was a traitor, you know, when he was living among the Midianites, and he got killed too, so he finally got his just deserts. It goes on to say, "But they took the women and their children with them as spoil, and all the cattle and the flocks and the goods." So Moses got really angry because they kept the women alive, who caused the children of Israel through the counsel of Balaam to sin. So he commanded them to kill all the male children and all the women who were not virgins, and so those in battle had to stay outside the camp 7 days and purify everything. Clothes washed in water, you know, anything that could be washed was washed. If it was precious metal, it was passed through the fire. And the plunder was divided between those who went to battle and the congregation and Eleazar and the Levites. Then we go on to find out the sons of Reuben and Gad wanted to stay in the land of Gilead. In other words, on the one side of the Jordan before they crossed over. Okay, so they liked the land they were in. They said, "This is kind of cool. We like it. Looks good for our cattle and, you know, and for farming and all that. So we want to stay here." So Moses kind of got a little, you know, mad at him. Said, "What? You guys are just going to stay here, not do anything? We're going to cross over, do all the work, kill all the bad guys, take over the land, and you just stay here, huh?" And they said, "Well, no. We promised to go with you. We'll do our part. We'll help you defeat God's enemies and our enemies. And then we'll return, and then we'll live here." So they made that agreement. In chapter 33, it revisits the journey of the children of Israel from the beginning, you know, all the way through the death of Aaron. So then God instructs Moses about the borders of Canaan and who gets what. Okay, the instructions included giving cities to the Levites to dwell in. Among these cities were the cities of refuge, 3 on one side of the Jordan and 3 in Canaan, totaling 48 cities. From the land that they got was dependent on the amount of people in the tribe. So the bigger the tribe, the more land. The lesser the tribe, the less land. So the cities of refuge were put in place. So if somebody accidentally killed somebody, and they were fleeing for their life, they can go into the city of refuge and not be hurt, you know. But if they left, you know, they're on their own. If it was found out that the murder was intentional, then that person was killed. Okay, but only on the testimony of two or more witnesses. So to make it fair, and that no one guy had a grudge against another and just said, yeah, he killed that guy. I saw it, you know. And oddly enough, what happened if somebody did was found to be a false testimony that they gave against somebody, he got what he wanted the other guy to get. So it probably didn't happen very often. Then Zelophehad's daughter, okay, they came and said, well, you know, we want our fair share, because their father was dead, you know, and so Moses was told, yes, give them their fair share. The daughters were Mila, Tirzah, Hogla, Meha, and Hoa. And so they were given their inheritance on the condition that they didn't marry anybody outside their tribe, so that that land couldn't pass from one tribe to another. So our inheritance, okay, either male or female, okay, is when we stay within the land or in the family of the Lord. Okay, so we stay there. Okay, we don't go into another tribe or another land. Okay, we need to utterly destroy the Midianites in our lives. Okay, so the enemies of our souls and of God. Okay, so we destroy that. That includes false prophets and prophecies, including astrology and any things like that. You know, that's like the Midianite style of life. And so we're to destroy all that in our life. Okay. So vows. Vows like marriage. When we got married, we made a vow to each other, you know, and so we made that vow before God and before man. Now Yeshua made a vow to us, okay, as his bride, that he would never leave us or forsake us. Shabbat Shalom.